And we're back live on your number one sports podcast, All Things Sports. I'm your co-host, Small Town EP, joined by your host, Wade Julian. In the week where North Carolina sweeps Duke for the season, and Aaron Rodgers might run for president, ATS is back to give you the real in sports. June, how you doing on this beautiful Wednesday evening? Wednesday special for the ass.
I was doing all right, but now that the Heat are only down, you know, a couple versus the Denver Nuggets at the half, makes me feel good. So I'm doing better. It's been a great day. Was able to get to the gym. Was able to, you know what I'm saying, clock in, clock out, and, you know, do my due for the day. So everything's good on my end. I hope everything's good on your end. I'm ready. You know, I'm here.
There it is. Shout out to my dog Canelo. It's his 2-year-old. He's two today. It's his birthday. But happy like birthday, you were Canelo. Mentioning, yeah, facts. Like you were mentioning, let's get straight into a little bit of some NBA talk. Heat at the half. You said you guys are down not too much, 44-50 at the half versus the defending champions. This is an NBA Finals rematch for the second time in about week and a half, 2 weeks. You guys are down 6 at the half. I know you've been watching it. What do you like? What do you not like? I know that we spoke about the Heat. You spoke on the Heat pretty much on the last episode on Monday. And, you know, 3-game skid at that point. Now this is game 4. You guys going to pull this off?
Yeah, man, I do believe, you know, we can pull this one off. This is a big one, particularly because we're at home. You know, last time we played them, maybe a week and a half ago or so, we failed in that rematch. This is the first time we see them since the finals in Miami. We lost 2 in Miami. And, you know, this is a game you just got to come out with pride and you know, put everything aside, like no K-Love, no Tyler Hero. But you got to find a way to get it done. You found ways to get it done with less versus other teams. This is a championship team. I get it. One of the best teams, if not the best team in the league. Not just in the standings, but as far as how they play, how they're coached, who they have on their team. What I like is that Jokic at the half, I mean, he's got less than 10 points, less than 5 assists. You know, he has 2 assists. He doesn't have the hugest impact on this game. And I think that's part of the reason why it's been so close. I think Bam Adebayo is doing a really good job defensively, making it tough for him, making him uncomfortable. And, you know, their leading scorer right now is Michael Porter. And I think as far as I wouldn't say any team, but as far as Miami, if Michael Porter Jr. is going to be their leading scorer, I like our chances. Not to say, you know, this is no shade. This isn't, you know, he's not a player. He's definitely a great player, but I've seen them beat us in other multitude of ways. And you know, when Jamal Murray and Jokic really got that thing going, and as a team, when they're shooting, you know, a high clip from 3, that's how you know they can be really lethal. But they're only shooting 33%, 5 of 15 from the 3 to our 1 of 8, 12%. So it's pretty even right now. You know, we're winning the rebound battle at the moment. They're winning the turnover battle, but it's close. I think this game ends close. I don't think we see a blowout. I don't think in the third quarter or the fourth quarter it's just gonna slip away and either team kind of just freeze to the end. It's gonna be uncomfortable for the next 30 minutes. So I'm excited to see that. I'm glad that Miami came out tonight, you know, and is playing tough nose basketball.
Yeah, the last matchup on the 29th of February, you guys did cover the 6.5-point spread, did lose by 6. We're down, if I'm not mistaken, about 5 at the half. So it's looking like a very similar game. Second and last matchup at the crib. At the AAA, it's not called the Casilla Center, it's the AAA, downtown Miami. This is just that time of the year. I guess I share the same sentiment about the Heat at this point as you do about the Chiefs when we talk about the Chiefs. This is the time of year that you just don't want to, one, bet against the Heat, two, probably definitely don't want to play against the Heat, especially if they're already on a 3-game skid and they're at the crib. I think you guys do pull this off. It'll probably be a 1-2-point game, very close. I will say you guys would need to stop the 3-point shooting in the fourth quarter. That's been an Achilles heel for you guys lately, is a 3-point shooting in the fourth quarter. So if you guys can, you know, contain that as far as the Nuggets are concerned, I think you guys can pull this one off
Yeah, we also, I like the fact that, you know, we've got 14 attempts at the line, and we also have 17 bench points to their six, right? So they're winning the points off turnover battle 13-4, but the bench is a crucial part in these matchups because they're a deep team, much like we are. And I think we feed off of our bench, you know, like they come in, provide a big spark, and do a great job of maintaining the lead, or, you know, kind of chopping at the lead if we're down. So shout out to, you know, Hawkes Jr. And the rest of the gang on the bench mob that have kind of played their role. So should be a fun second half.
NFL free agency right now is still going crazy. We are seeing Houston ramp up and really go as all in as Jerry Jones was saying he's all in. With the Cowboys, we haven't really seen make any moves at all yet. One of the most notable moves recently is Calvin Ridley exiting Jacksonville, heading over to Tennessee, joining the likes of DeAndre Hopkins. And we were talking about it off camera, Will Levis, who at times appeared to show, you know, some glimpses of stardom and some glimpses of maybe a game manager, as they say. And at other times was just, you know, colorblind on the field and throwing the ball to the other team. This T-Law and Ridley combo, you're excited for it? I know you're a big fan of Trevor Lawrence. I'm sorry, I'm tripping. Yeah, that was crazy because he just left. This Hopkins and Ridley combo, reading the notes backwards, this Hopkins and Ridley combo, are you excited for it? Shall Will Levis also be kind of ecstatic at the new addition to the team?
Will Levis should definitely be excited. I think it's a great pickup for that team. We saw what Ridley was able to do. He's 30 years old, but he's like 29 because, you know, he did skip a year in football. He got a year off to get his mind right, to get his body right. And we saw that with, you know, a good offense and a good quarterback around him, he is able to maintain the same success that he was able to find early in his career in Atlanta. I also want to just say shout out to Calvin Ridley, because I think for what he went through, whether it was necessary or not, we've spoken on that before. I think what he went through was tough, regardless of who you are, regardless of, you know, how you feel about the situation he went through. To be able to persevere through that and come back and still be a gamer and impact winning football says a lot about who you are as a player and as a person, and how, you know, much mental fortitude you have. So shout out to Calvin Ridley for that. I also think, you know, another guy, you know, a former Colt, Isaiah Rodgers, you know, we cut him, unfortunately. The Eagles got him, and now they're going to get to, you know, experience a real gamer right there. But, you know, as far as this signing, it's just a little confusing for Tennessee, like in my point of view, because A.J. Brown wanted $100 million, you know, at, what, 26 years old or so, and they didn't see that to be fit. And so now they need a wide receiver, and they went and paid a 30-year-old wide receiver $90 million. Like, obviously it's not fully guaranteed, but that's the number. And so I will say it is different management, different front office. You know, I think that was part of the reason why there is a new GM, because of the A.J. Brown situation and how they might have handled that. So new regime, new coach, right? And they've got a lot to be excited about. Will Levis, as much as, like, a lot of people talk a lot of shit about him and say, you know, Mayo Man, or, you know, he's like just a fake tough guy. But
Mayo Man, like, is crazy for real.
Yeah, it's crazy. Pause. But Will Levis has shown, as you mentioned, times where he can really be that guy. He's shown that. And do I think that's his career? Do I think he's going to make a living in the NFL off being that guy every week and really, you know, taking this Titans team to a new level? Not necessarily. Maybe I'm, you know, speaking loudly as a Colts fan, and that's okay. But I do think, just in general, he can be a good quarterback in this league. He's what you need. He has a strong arm. He's athletic. He's not a, you know, huge mistake maker, right? So the more that time goes on and the more freedom they give him to feel comfortable in you know, play calling and designing the offense specifically around him, he's going to get a full year to start, right? So, I mean, he got two guys, DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, as a second-year quarterback, has got to be, you know, pretty enticing. So, it should be exciting for the Tennessee Titans to see what they're doing right now. We also saw that they lost DeNico Autry, defensive tackle. He went to the Texans. This AFC South, man, is the Colts have been making their moves, you know what I mean, and signing in-house guys. We've been getting our guys back. There's a couple other guys I want to get back, or maybe one other guy, Julian Blackman, our safety. But we did re-sign Grover Stewart. We did re-sign Kenny Moore. We did re-sign Michael Pittman. And so for that, I'm grateful. You know, I do appreciate our front office for believing in the guys that we have in our core, you know, having the commitment to them, seeing that they were productive for the team and deserve to get paid. With that being said, Ronnie Harrison Jr. as well on a one-year deal. With that being said, I would appreciate if Chris Ballard went and spent some bread on some outside free agents as well. There's a lot of talent still left out there. Justin Simmons. You know, we got some safeties out there. It's a couple wide receivers floating around right now, which is not a strong point. I don't really care to draft a wide receiver sign a wide receiver because I think that the draft is full of them. But a cornerback would be very, very nice. Maybe getting Stephon Gilmore back in the building, maybe signing Rocky Sin as a familiar face. These are just some names that are coming off the top of the head. But the team that's really, really, really making the splash in the AFC South is the Texans, right? I mean, they went and signed. How's that? I love that. Every time I snap my fingers, you know that Crip Mac. He's like, Texans went and signed. Refresh my mind. They went and got a defensive end. I'm trying to think of his name. I can't think of his name right now. Oh, sorry about that. You're muted, my boy.
My bad. Texans, Danielle Hunter.
Listen, it's okay. We're human, right?
Yeah, Danielle Hunter.
They actually just traded Malik Collins as well. However, Joe Mixon was one of the signings that was interesting because he just got cut from the Bengals for a multitude of reasons. But, you know, Joe Mixon in that offense that we saw last year, I think is pretty dynamic, man. That's what scares me. You know, like we're sitting here as the Colts, we're re-signing the guys that we had, which I love and I appreciate. However, we didn't have enough, right? So we might need to go get some outside noise. And Danielle Hunter was the guy that I was talking about. It's almost a fully guaranteed contract that they signed him to. The Colts were in talks with Danielle Hunter, and he's got a $48 million fully guaranteed contract, and it's a two-year $49 million deal. You know what I mean? So it's basically fully guaranteed. Will Anderson, as a defensive rookie of the year, is on the other side of him. Danielle Hunter's a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type of guy. They signed DeNico Autry. They signed Azeez Al-Shaair. They're bringing back Noah Brown. They signed Jeff Okuda to a one-year deal. And, you know, this is just the stuff that makes a team go. We saw the Texans go from one of the worst teams in the league. We've talked about this to, you know, a playoff team. They lost to the Ravens, one of the best teams, a team with the MVP. They lost to them in the divisional round of the playoffs. And, hey, man, or was it the wild card weekend? Might have been the wild – was that wild card or divisional round when Ravens played the Texans?
That was divisional, if I'm not mistaken, because the Texans had to win that home game, right?
Texans beat the Browns on wild card weekend. Yeah. So, and they look like they're shoring up, you know what I'm saying? They look like they're getting better. Ramp. So it's tough.
I got a question for you. With Calvin Ridley exiting Jacksonville, going to Tennessee, Does the Gabe Davis to Jacksonville trade lose a little shine now in your eyes?
Not necessarily. I think Jacksonville still needed to make moves. You know what I mean? Like Gabe Davis and Calvin Ridley are two different players. So does it change their offense a bit? Most certainly. Gabe Davis is like a streaky guy who, you know, he's like a big play, big catch maker, averages high averages per catch, touchdown scorer. But Calvin Ridley is a guy that you can just get the ball in his hand and you know, he'll make the play himself. He can run a deep ball. He can run a slant. He's a great route runner. And that's something Gabe Davis isn't necessarily that's not part of his game, per se. He's also a 6'4", you know, guy versus Calvin Ridley being a shorter guy. So I think Jacksonville would be fine. Their quarterback is amazing. I still believe in Trevor Lawrence to be one of the better talents in the NFL. And he's going into what now year three, I think, with Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson, you know what I'm saying? He's got 3 years with him. So he's gotten better every single year. And like I said, the basis around me saying all of this is because I think I'm a little worried because the AFC South is shoring up. And as much as the Colts have signed 5 or 6 guys, we've re-signed everybody. We haven't really made outside of today where we got our backup quarterback, right? We got Joe Flacco backing up Anthony Richardson, which, I mean, that's cool. But I would like to see us make some other moves there.
We head over to Baltimore, who has been in the headlines for, I would say, would you call it a blockbuster trade? Because I would say this is a blockbuster trade, especially when it's a man by the name of Derrick Henry, also leaving Tennessee, heading over to Baltimore. The contract details I do not have pulled up in front of me, but I know it is a large sum of money, 2 years, $16 million with the Ravens. I mean, this is a 1,000-yard rusher going from a team who was bottom third in run block, achieving run blocks, hitting their run blocks, to a team that is top, if I'm not mistaken, 3 in run block percentage. So if he did 1,000 yards with what he had, what do you think he's going to do in Baltimore now, June?
Yeah, I mean, just to clarify, it was a free agent signing, not a trade. And yeah, you said it was a 2-year, $16 million deal. I mean, we're talking about a Hall of Fame running back who still got some left in the tank and a guy who's not going to have to like carry the load for the team in a sense of not having the correct personnel around him for it to be like make his day at the job easy. You know what I'm saying? He is going to carry a lot of load for this Ravens team, but the Ravens MO is run the ball. The Ravens have pass block, run block, you know, protection. The Ravens have a quarterback who can run, who's a threat in a read option game. They also have another young running back, Keaton Mitchell, who's coming off an injury, but we saw how fast he is. We saw how explosive he is. And that change of pace, change of direction, thunder, lightning dynamic that they can have in Baltimore in that offense, along with, you know, Mark Andrews coming back fully healthy, having Rashad Bateman over there and our boy Zay Flowers, whose lasting memory is not very much to be proud of. But I do think that the guy is going to be able to redeem himself next year and they will have another top 5 offense in the league. Derrick Henry is going to be used. I think he's going to have another 1,000-yard season, but it's going to be a little easier because of the pieces around him and the protection and the holes that he's going to find because of the talent on their O-line plus the play and elusiveness of their quarterback. So I'm super excited to see, you know, that Ravens team. Listen, I'm a Lamar Jackson fan. I'm not a Ravens fan, so I'm not here to support the Ravens in their regular season success. But if it comes down to the playoffs and the Colts are not involved, I would most certainly love to see Lamar Jackson take it as far as he can. Pause. So, yeah, that's how I feel. I think that's a great signing for them.
We can head over to LA where the Chargers released Mike Williams after 7 seasons. Harbaugh, the Harbaugh time, the Harbaugh world is in full effect. You think this was a good move for his quarterback's development going forward? Is Harbaugh kind of separating pups from big dogs, as they say?
To be honest, I think it's more of a money move, man. They were over the cap. Today was the day, the deadline where, you know, teams had to get under and get right with the money in the books. They had decisions to make with Keenan Allen. They had decisions to make with Khalil Mack. They had decisions to make with Mike Williams, who are all making north of $25 to $35 million a year. Obviously, Keenan Allen is a part of that franchise. You know, he was there before Herbert, before Harbaugh, and put the Hall of Fame numbers up he has so far and will continue to do so. Even last year was playing amazing football. He's obviously been a great impact, or has had a great impact on Justin Herbert's career so far. Mike Williams, as good as he is a good receiver. I will say Mike Williams is a really good receiver. I'm not going to put great. If he can be more consistent, if he can stay healthy, he has the opportunity to be a great number one wide receiver. However, you can't, you know, risk the health factor when you're paying that type of money. And when you have to decide between him and Keenan Allen, I think it's a no-brainer. Also, Khalil Mack was willing to take a pay cut, you know what I'm saying, and restructure his deal. So if they're going to be willing to do so, the decision, you know, that it kind of makes itself. And Mike Williams, in my opinion, will get a contract, a nice contract. I don't think it'll be the biggest, you know, payday, but he'll have a nice contract, and I'm sure it's going to be incentive-based, or, you know, have to play a certain amount of games to get as much money as he's, you know, due. As the Miami Heat take a three-point lead, shout out to Bam Adebayo gaming on Nikola Jokic right now. But, yeah, you know, the Chargers basically had to do what they had to do. And Jim Harbaugh, he don't know Mike Williams. You know what I'm saying? He don't even know Keenan Allen or Khalil Mack. So
facts.
It could have been anybody. However, you look at the tape, you look at the production, you look at who's been available, and I'm sure all of that had to do with, you know, the decision they made. So it's no love law. It's no, you know, hard feelings, I don't think, with them, but it was just something that, hey, we can't afford this. You know what I'm saying? We can't afford this. Now, I would hope they go and get a running back, though. Like, they lost Austin Eckler, and Justin Herbert can't do it all. He can't throw the ball, you know, 40 times a game, every game. And we know John Harbaugh is Jim Harbaugh. It's Jim, right? I think it's Jim. We know Jim Harbaugh is a runner's coach, right? He likes to run the ball. So I would like to see what he implements, who he brings in to help that part of their offense.
Our boy Jordan is tuned in right now. He just texted me. I told him to hop in the chat with the energy. But he said, really is about to finesse Tennessee with a season injury. $50 million guaranteed. Oh man,
he said, who is
Ridley? Ridley's about to finesse Tennessee with the season ending injury. $50 million That's guaranteed. And I did actually, I was looking right before you said that, I did look up the score to that Heat game, and they were up by 3, outscoring the Denver Nuggets in the third quarter by 9 right now. Exactly how you want to start and build momentum for the second half to, you know, to get the defending champions up out of downtown Miami.
To be honest, not to cut you off, it's like I'm super ecstatic. I'm sitting here and I'm keeping it cool, but super happy with what I'm seeing in the second half. You know, we didn't come out flat last game. You said we were down 5 at the half, and that third quarter, bro, sometimes, listen, we call it, as Heat fans, we call it the third quarter, literally. And that's been a thing for the last 6 years now. Like, it's not a new thing. We come out the second half struggling, and I think we've done a great job staying consistent tonight with the best of the best. So shout out to the Heat. Hopefully, you know, there's still time left. We got half a quarter and a whole quarter to go. I hope we can maintain the momentum we have right now, but you know, ebbs and flow.
Some free agency news in the MLB. Free agency and just, you know, typical Yankee news that I got to bring up here and there, you know. New York, the Yankees, shut Gerrit Cole down. He is having, if I'm not mistaken, surgery. I mean, I've said it. I love the guy. As a resident Yankee fan, that's on air right now on the All Things Sports podcast, brought to you by Small Town Productions. I love the guy. You know, he pitches shutouts. He'll get rocked once or twice a year. It's, you know, a religious habit that he has, which actually last year didn't actually happen like that, which is why he won a Cy Young. But we make these acquisitions, and then it's like we take 5 steps forward to take 8 steps back. You know what I mean? Because bullpen is huge in New York. It's been huge in New York for the past 2-3 years. It's part of the reason that we got, you know, this proverbial monkey on our back that we just can't get off. We can't get past this hump. We can't get past a certain amount of wins. You know, management gets a lot of, and the front office gets a lot of, you know, the blame for it, you know, and they should. But at the end of the day, these are professionals. They're the ones that are going on the field. It just sucks. It sucks. It's definitely a big missing piece. And if he's shut down, I mean, our bullpen becomes that much more stretched. I don't expect you to say anything nice about the Yankees, but what were your first thoughts when you saw that Gerrit Cole was shut down?
I mean, okay, first thoughts. Like, obviously, I'm going to have my hater thoughts. Like, I'm not going to say I could see it coming. I'm never going to, like, expect, like, you know, injury like that. However, it's more so the monkey on your back kind of thing. It's more so like something's got to happen. You know, it's always something kind of thing. So with that being said, first I took it with a grain of salt because I'm like, all right, you know, it's spring training still. And we got about, what, 2 weeks or so, 2.5 weeks till the regular season starts here. So it's definitely concerning when I first saw the report, maybe a couple of days ago. But now, like, reading the comments and seeing what Aaron Boone's comments, seeing how he's describing this, he's saying, basically, he said, you know, he's not in pain. He's in experiencing discomfort, which is not okay. It don't make it better, you know, because at the same time, discomfort as a pitcher, one little tweak, and that could be the season, you know, and that's why we notice. Pitching is one of those injuries, like having a pitcher's injury is one of those things that you have to like kind of beat. You have to like diagnose it yourself and like be responsible enough to tell the guys in the locker room or tell the medical staff like, hey, this is starting to feel a little different. Because you notice pitchers, when they get hurt, they pull themselves from the game. They'll tweak something and they're like, all right, hold on, coach, let's have this discussion. I don't know, feeling something over here, you know what I'm saying? This is a little weird. Coach is like, all right, warm somebody up. Cool. So Aaron Boone, going back to him, he says that basically this is something that Gerrit Cole would have felt or experienced if he is mid-season pitching 100 pitches per in a game, you know what I'm saying? But he's not in mid-season form or even close to that, and he's pitching 45 to 47 pitches, you know, in 3 innings or so, or, you know, for his outing, and he's starting to feel this discomfort consistently. So definitely something to worry about if you're a Yankee fan. You guys have enough talent to compete. You guys have a good pitching staff, but this is your ace, you know what I'm saying? And every team has an ace, and every team has an ace for a reason, you know what I'm saying? Even when you have a 1-2, the 2 is 2 for a reason. Gerrit Cole is the reason the Yankees had as much success as they did. Is a big reason, not all the reason, but a big reason is why they had all the success they did last year. And so at the end of the day, if this isn't a season-ending injury, I wouldn't concern myself with it too much. You know, his name isn't Lucas Giolito, who I wish the Red Sox already cut. Like, I'm not going to hold you. I see the ESPN thing hits me like, oh, Lucas Giolito didn't have to have Tommy John and might come back earlier in 2025. And it's just like, bro, the man ain't pitch a fucking game for the Red Sox. Get off my team. That's how I feel. Like, I don't even know this guy, and we paying him to sit. He's a great pitcher, hell of a pitcher, but what's this, you know? And Chris Sale, he started getting hurt, but he won us a World Series. You know what I'm saying? Chris Sale got hurt after. Don't come over here with that before shit. Back to Gerrit Cole and the Yankees, man. You guys have problems in the playoffs. You guys have problems in September and October. And until you guys beat those allegations, as we say, The narrative is never going to change. I could make all the jokes I want. You could say all the shit you want about how great you guys are, about how many 100 win seasons you have had in the last 6 years. Like, who cares? So if Gerrit Cole is going to be available for that time of the year, we can be okay. You know, as you Yankee fans, you guys can kind of rest assured we'll have our ace. Let him sit out for the first month and a half, whatever, 60-day DL, or whatever he needs, IL. It's just like, man, these injuries are so annoying because you look at the contract. Like, you hate to, you know, mesh them up, but $300 million, bro. This ain't no, we're not talking about no $75 to $110 million player. And $110 million player is crazy. But
crazy.
This is a $300 million guy. So he's had this injury before, I believe in Pittsburgh. Obviously, he was able to come back and be one of the league's best pitchers after, right? And win a Cy Young again. But you guys are on a mission this year, man. This is like, if I was a Yankee fan, you know, this is our year again. Like, and here we are before fucking opening day. Our ace is going to miss who knows how long. Because at this point, it's still up in the air. But we know he's not going to play opening day. So definitely concerning.
And in other news, White Sox, Dylan Cease. Looks like he's on his way to the West Coast in sunny San Diego after two seasons ago, coming off a damn near a Cy Young performing season to last year struggling. Like, there was no other way to put it, just flat out struggling. He seems, Jeff Pizan, you know, notifies us that he is on his way to San Diego. As you hear the birthday boy in the background, I think maybe I hear him. I don't know if y'all hear him, but I hear him. Unless his new mic got anything condensed. Let's go.
Hey, at least you know the mic good.
Dylan Cease on his way to San Diego. How do you feel about that? I feel like this could be good. San Diego and their rotations are very strong. I feel like they have a good development, you know, team there as far as their pitchers are concerned. When you have, you know, Snell over there, just won a Cy Young. I think this could be a good redemption season for Cease. What do you think? You're on mute.
Sorry about that. I think this is a good thing for the Padres, right? I was saying, I think this is a team that underperformed last year, if I'm not wrong. They went out and had the Juan Soto trade, right? Fernando Tatis gets suspended and, you know, kind of deals with an embarrassing situation. Manny Machado just kind of there. But mind you, these guys are how many millions? You know what I'm saying? These guys are your premier guys, and we're not getting the production that we expected. They went and signed Xander Bogaerts, right? To do what at the end of the day? And I think a lot of that comes back to pitching as well, right? Because as good of a hitter you can be, and as many hitters as you can have in a lineup, you got to be able to stop the other team as well. And so that National League is tough. That division is tough, right? And that's kind of what they experienced. And I think it was a little new to them because the Padres are new to the contending world, right? The last 4 years, right? They've kind of like gotten into this. And then Tatis was the real big thing. Now they're dealing with how can we still maintain ourselves as contenders, but Tatis is not even a part of this thing, right? And we've got now Juan Soto, who might be more excited than Tatis for us. Or, you know, we've got Xander Bogaerts, who's an amazing defensive player and is taking over literally for the shortstop position that Tatis plays. Like, there was a lot of distractions in there, man, and a lot of shit that they had to deal with. I think that having guys like Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, adding Dylan Cease only makes them that much better. So it should be an exciting year for the Padres. Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis. They still have Xander Bogaerts. And you know, they got other hitters in there too. But those are the marquee guys that we look for to produce. It's on them.
You got anything else in NFL free agency? Yeah. No, I'm good. Yeah, we good. We here. You got anything else in NFL free agency or MLB free agency you want to get into?
Nah, real quick though, appreciate Ray, because earlier I was stumbling on who the Texans signed, and he helped me out in the chat. He said Danielle Hunter. Shout to Frank Blanco. I gotta find out who Frank Blanco is. He said, yo, fresh ad jersey, cuz. And I feel like that's my boy Santi. I don't know who that is. Frank Blanco, shout out to you, my boy. And then also shout out to Jason, you know what I'm saying, in the chat coming through. This is, and he said, this is coming from a Red Sox fan. That's funny as hell. Hey, I try to keep it real. I don't have anything else in the free agency world of things, but I will leave off with the fact that the Heat and the Nuggets, with 10 minutes to go, are in a two-point battle. The Nuggets are up 75-73. But keep in mind what I just said. This is a game that the Heat should win. 75-73, now 77-73, with 9 minutes left. It's a very low-scoring game. It's one of those gritty, grinded-out games. And I'll be excited to sit here for the end of the game. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate y'all, is what I want to say.
Arsenal moves on in the Champions League. They do beat Porto yesterday in penalties, 4-2. Shout out to Arsenal and them London boys. Champions League is in full effect. If I'm not mistaken, the results from today, Atletico Madrid did beat Inter Milan 2-1. Borussia Dortmund did beat PSV Eindhoven 2-0. So Borussia moves on 3-1 on aggregate, and Atletico Madrid move on 3-2 on aggregate. We'll move on to the round of eight very soon. I mean, we got college basketball in full effect right now. BYU does beat UCF earlier to the tune of 87-73 in the second round of the Big 12 championship. Tonight, in another second round matchup, we have number 16 Kansas hosting, and I say hosting, it's on the neutral site, so hosting Cincinnati. And Kansas is actually a 2.5-point dog in this game. Kansas has had their struggles this year. The books say watch out for Cincinnati tonight. Earlier today, Florida State did upset Virginia Tech and fuck up a lot of tickets, including my own. Yours. So fuck the Seminoles. It's always fuck the Seminoles. Every sport, two times. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this was the Wednesday special All Things Sports Podcast, your number one sports podcast, brought to you by Small Town Productions. I am your co-host, Small Town EP, joined by your host, Wade Julian. We will see you all on Monday, right after Selection Sunday this weekend. We'll see y'all.